brothers and sisters in Christ Jesus. Yes, I know it is probably nice to get an audio where it's not bilingual. There's just been so much going on these last days, and I'm glad that there's certain things that are sort of standing opportunities where God opens a door to speak and where people actually have the heart for truth. And you know, I've been wanting to do some of these more of these talks, but you know, the thing is like we really can't do anything unless God moves us to do it. Because if we try to do something on a schedule, or you try to do something, you know, when you sort of like are supposed to, but if it's got to be something that's spirit-led, then it doesn't happen based on our own personal initiative, our own personal drive. So, you know, I think something I continue to learn, I guess, more and more as time goes on, is just how to fall into step with what the Spirit of God is doing, and basically just when He moves, we move. When He goes left, we go left. When He goes right, we go right. When He stops, we stop. When He gets upset about something and His Spirit is grieved about something, we allow that to grieve us as well. We don't shut down our hearts. You know, when He wants something acted upon, we take up that responsibility, because He stirs us in our spirits, and then we go and we act upon that thing, whatever it may be. So, you know, I think one of the things for me that's been really a good part of my process that He's had me in is just detoxing all of that crap from my time within the religious systems of this world. Because, you know, I think my mentality is I would have made a really good special ops or something in the military or something like that. Because, you know, like, you, for me, like, you know, part of the way that God's wired me is, you know, I'm pretty good at following, you know, like, if a coach would tell me to, you know, run however far or swim whatever or all those kind of things, I'm there once I'm inside that chain of command. And you know, in the right context, in the right way, it's a fantastic thing. But in the wrong context, in the wrong way, you can do yourself a lot of damage and a lot of other people a lot of damage as well. And you know, for so long, I followed, you know, and I trusted people that did not deserve to be followed and had no right to be trusted. And you know, that was a hard reality to come to at a certain point, when you realize that people that you really believed, you know, and you really thought were good and right and true, and you find out that they weren't, or that they had mixed motives, or they themselves, you know, had made a compromise in their own life, you know, or you get caught up with the charisma of a particular person, and then you realize, oh my gosh, this, you know, that this is just a fallible, normal person with all of their flaws. You know, it's a tough thing, because in the end, I think one thing that people want is they want somebody to look to. They want a human personality, a face to put their trust in. And your first person that you trust and that you put your heart in is God. You have to. The first person that you look to has to always be Jesus Christ in any situation. You know, and I know that there's that, it's kind of one of those last clinging hopes that people look for, where they look for that one person that they can just, that this is our guy, this is our man, this is my pastor, this is my politician, this is my whatever, you know, my boss, and you know, if you look for that, you'll find a lot of people that will stand up and want to be your Messiah, want to be your Savior, want to be this or that, but it's all with the agendas. And even for the ones that don't have those, God will not allow for His true children. He will have no other gods before Him, and He knows where your heart and your allegiance is. And you know, there's people that, you know, sometimes they're walking strong and they're fine, but God will move them out of the way because people even look to that one to be something that they're not supposed to be. And you know, God is stirring His people again, even in this time and in this age, to not look to human personalities. I think we've had decades of that, where honestly, history has been that. But, you know, in particular, you know, we've had just a season where we've had so many people. I think now more than ever we see it because of the proliferation of information technology, that people see so much more these days than they do before of the fallibility of the leaders that they have and the people that they've put on these pedestals. And they're just men, they're just women, they're just they're fallible human beings. All of us are. And the only thing that we have that's good in us, if you walk with Christ, is His Holy Spirit. And if you yield to that, you can work with Him. And if you don't yield to that, you're in trouble. And you know, and it's a day-to-day thing. It is a day-to-day walk. It's a day-to-day choice of, will you go His way? Will you choose light and truth? Or will you walk the way of the world? And will you sell out because it's convenient? Or because you think that the walk in truth is too hard or too difficult? You know, I really... Yeah, this whole thing about detoxing and detoxing the religious garbage, you know, man creates systems, and then in the creation of his systems, he then has to validate his systems, and then once he validates them, he's got to get other people to buy into them so they have credibility, and then once they have credibility, then they have to put pressure on you to conform so that you can be part of that system, and if you're not, then you're left out. So it's so funny to see what hoops people will jump through just for a certificate printed on nice paper with a shiny gold embossed seal. I mean, it's ridiculous what people will do. What did Napoleon say? He said something like, you know, that he could get men to run through hot coals and, you know, go through fire for a little bit of ribbon and a piece of metal. I mean, basically the point being that, like, man wants so desperately to feel important, to feel like they're special, to feel like they're somebody. And the things that people do in order to create that and then to sustain that and to pat each other on the back in that process as they sell out. See, for us, you are important because God says you are. You are important. You have value because God says you have value. You have worth because He puts worth on you. And when Jesus Christ offers sheds His blood as the price to pay for your redemption, that's the price necessary for us to be bought back, and for the cost necessary for us to be redeemed. Well, that value, when that's applied to our soul, yeah, you have immeasurable value. Because what is the value of the blood of the Son of God? I mean, so, but if that's not applied to your life, well, okay, then, you know, you're not redeemed. And, you know, it's, there's a free will decision and a free will choice in that whole process. But, you know, people look for something in the natural, something in the this physical realm, which is a continuous test of your faith. The natural realm is a continuous test of your faith. To see, do you really trust Him? Do you really trust God? Do you really trust Christ Jesus to lead you through this whole thing? Or will you be swayed by what you see on the surface? Will you be swayed by what you see, can touch, can feel, can measure, can count? You know, I right now, it's interesting, the things that are being stirred, you know, even in my own heart these days. And just the fact that, you know what, I am amazed at how little the people of God utilize what God has put in them. You realize that all authority on heaven and on earth, Jesus said, all authority on heaven and on earth has been given unto me. Therefore go. And He gave, you know, His disciples specific instructions to go and what to do. And for us, we in Him, we live and move and have our being. That's the, oh, by the way, that was the end of Matthew 28, where all authority. But, so in Him we live and we move and we have our being. And so we, and if you are in Christ Jesus, you reside spiritually in the source and in the place where all authority on heaven and on earth has been given. So for us, we can go into any situation in life, any place, as directed by the Spirit of God. If we're in Him and if we're being led by Him, you go into any place, you have authority over that situation as an ambassador of Christ, as a follower of Him that walks in connection with His Spirit. Here, as a representative of the Kingdom of God, you go into a situation and you say, here's what the King says about the situation. Here's what the King decrees about this situation. Here is what's going to happen in this situation. And then as God stirs your spirit to pray over a situation, it changes. Because nothing can stop that. Nothing can stop the prayers of the saints. If you persist and if you don't give up and if you push through, it changes things. You know, I'm amazed at how many people that call themselves followers of Christ give up. And they give up at the smallest sign of trouble. They give up at the first hurdle that they had to jump over. God is pushing you to have some backbone, to actually get into the fight, to actually be part of what it is that He's doing in these days. But His is one for, He wants you to persist through, to trust Him when you go through these troubles. But there is something much, much, much bigger going on than your individual, my individual life in this world. My time here, my wealth, my provision, my comfort, my desires, my hopes, my dreams. There's something much bigger going on than that. And you have to allow God to expand your thought process to be bigger than yourself. That is, you know, that is a plague of the religious system of this world. It's one thing that you have to detox from entirely, which is this thing about me, myself, and I, and my short, pathetic little life on this world, and how can I make it as comfortable and perfect for myself as possible. It's this thing that where religion is an extension of people's own selfishness. And even their approach to God is, what can I get from God? You know, there is, it's just an extension of what you would do in the world. There is no change. I mean, gosh, when I look and I see how many people choose to live their life in a a broken, pathetic system for years, for decades, and they go through that same thing over and over and over and again, and they never come out of it. You know, God is drawing people out of that. You know, I've just talked to some beautiful saints of God recently, and wonderful people, and just how in this time God has been drawing them out, and they've realized as they've continued to follow Him, He's broken them. He's allowed them to be broken and shattered into a thousand pieces to, as part of a necessary process, so that their world reality would be shaken enough so that they would actually really call out to Him for once in their life and find that He is real and that He's there and He's actually going to take them forward from that point, because He can't take somebody forward with all of this mental shenanigans of what they think He should do and think He should be. But how He's taken them through this process of basically, it's like, okay, if you really want to follow Me, it's a wilderness experience, and you're going to have to walk out into it with Me, trusting Me. And I will take care of you. I will watch over you. I will be there. I will lead you through this whole thing, and you will find out what life really is. But you're going to have to trust Me. And, you know, the difficulties that people are having to face now is like almost like a larger scale of the same thing. And thank God for it, because it's necessary. It's necessary to shake people out of their complacency, to realize that you've been living and walking down this mossy green path to a cliff to hell. And God is in His mercy seeking to shake you out of your complacency so that you wake up and you live. So rather than complaining, why is my comfort gone? Why is my little world in this little bubble that I created for myself not working anymore? And God, if God loved me, why would this happen to me? Rather than that, why not bow your knee before the King and say, Lord, this life, thank You for redeeming it through the blood of Christ, and thank You for giving me a hope and a future in You. And every breath that I would live in this life, let it be about You, for You, to accomplish whatever it is that You desire. And I just trust You in this, and whatever You say goes. And whatever circumstances and situations I'm dealing with right now, I put them at Your feet, and I trust You with them. And Lord, I ask You, Father, that Lord, that You would lead and direct and guide me through this, because I got nowhere else to go but You. I have no one else to trust but You. I have no other way that I can make it another day unless You carry me through. But I trust You, Lord God, and I trust that in the middle of all of this, that Your purposes will be done, because that's what I'm yielding to. So Your kingdom come, Your will be done, in Jesus' name. Amen. Why not pray like that? Why not try? You know, I also too, there are things that God has for His people, tasks that He would have us to accomplish, things that He would have for those that walk with Him to do in His name, the true in His name, the true, you know, okay. We've talked about this before on Faith Mix, and there's plenty of stuff about this, but there's a difference between people that use Jesus' name, that's the whole Matthew 7 crowd, and those that are praying in Jesus' name. If you pray in Jesus' name, you are praying from a position, from a spiritual position, and that spiritual position is it's a placement where you are existing within the vine, that John 15. You are existing spiritually in Him. You are not outside of Christ. You are hid in Him. You exist spiritually within Christ. And from that place, when you pray, you are praying in Jesus' name. He is the author and the finisher. He is the Alpha and the Omega. So you exist in that place, and when you're in that, you are praying in Jesus' name. There's a huge difference between praying in Jesus' name and somebody that prays using His name. You can pray using His name, but you are not praying in His name. And Jesus instructs His people to pray in His name. We ask in His name. And we ask from a place of spiritual existence. And there is things that God has for His people to do in His name in this time, in this age, in this year, in this amazing season that we live in, that He wants done by those that walk with Him, which will glorify Him and also reveal to people and show them that, yes, amidst all that man is being allowed to do and go on with, that He is still God, He is still in control, He is still ruler over all, and at any moment in time, He can drop the hammer on any one of these situations and just allow people to realize in that moment of time how small they really are, how limited their existence really is. The very fact that their breath is on loan from Him and that He can withdraw that loan from them at any point in time. You know, I mean, God is He's allowed people to run a certain measure up for themselves where they fill up that cup. You know, there's enough examples in Scripture where, particularly in the Old Testament, where it talks about this, but you know, it's in the New as well a lot, but of how there's an allowance for people to fill up that cup. To fill up the measure of their sins, of their iniquity, but basically people are allowed to run a particular course where it's in that process they really have solidified who they are, what they're about, what they would do. If you gave them 1,000 years, they would continue on that same road. If you gave them 10,000 years, it'd be the same thing, only more of the same. And you know, God allows for individuals, families, cities, nations, to, in their respective situations, to fill up the cup of who they are and what they're about, and then He pours it out. He then says, "Okay, now, you know, let you reap what you've sown." And, you know, we're coming into a time where it's like, you know, there's a lot of that. That is things are just coming to a head. There's a lot of that that is on the horizon. But in the middle of that too, God is also raising up His people as a standard of righteousness and truth and what can and should be and what is possible for those that would trust Him. So He will show Himself strong through a set of people that walk with Him, that know His name, that trust Him, that believe Him. He will show Himself strong through them. And He will reveal Himself through those that really, truly know Him amidst all of the lies and the lying signs and the wonders and all those things going on and all of the turmoil and all the rest of that too. In the middle of all of that, God will also have His standard of righteousness and truth that shines forward, and that will trump it all. That will beat it all. That will be known for what it is. Just like Moses when he went to Pharaoh's court. And there was a season and a time in that confrontation where at the start, you know, Moses would do something and the magicians would do something. They would mimic and they would mirror what he did. And as they progressed, it came to a point where, okay, they couldn't, all of a sudden now, they couldn't do what it was that Moses did. And then, as it progressed further, they were, you know, afflicted with the things that were happening, and they were just like, okay, this is the hand of God. They became witnesses of the truth of what happened in the true servant of God's life. Those that were using and doing lying signs and wonders, they knew the difference. And it came a point even with them where they were like, okay, this is God. This is real. This is true power. This is true something that's bigger than anything that we have ever known or could be associated or have any. We don't have anything like this going on. They knew that. You know, Simon the Sorcerer is the one in the Book of Acts that hears this guy.
Okay, so Simon the Sorcerer in the Book of Acts. So here's this guy who, you know, he's doing all of these signs and wonders, and then now here comes Peter into that situation, and he sees the power of God, and he realizes, okay, this is not just the parlor tricks that I do. He realizes the difference between who he is and the power that he has in him, which comes from demonic sources, and that which is operating in a child of light, which is it is over all of that, because all authority on heaven and on earth has been given unto Christ Jesus. And in him, when we walk with him, when we live in him, and in him we live and move and have our being, in those situations, when we go into them, we are light and truth, and we shine bright in a dark place. You know, for those of you that are struggling right now sometimes with the relationships that are around you, and why is it that people give you such a hard time, and it's part of it. If the world hates you, remember that they hated Christ Jesus first, and you walk and you live in his light and in his truth. So when the world has a problem with you, it's because they had a problem with him. And the very fact that you are his, they hate you for that. The very fact that you chose to live in truth, they hate you for that. So that's they're just doing what they do. So don't let it get your system in a bunch. Just realize that that's what it is. Now, that doesn't mean you invite them into the core of your life and into your heart and allow them to butcher you. No, keep some space. Have some wisdom. Use the head that God's given you, and don't allow people that are not followers of light and truth to be at the core of who you are. Guard your heart, because out of it comes the issues of life. You know, make some good decisions for the sake of your call, and choose your company wisely. Choose the people that are around you with some allow the Spirit of God to direct you. You know, I mean, Judas was allowed fellowship with Jesus in part because that was also part of the fulfillment of Scripture that God had orchestrated and ordained. But that doesn't mean that Ananias and Sapphira get to do the same thing. You know, God is not, he doesn't want that corruption to be brought into what it is that he wants with his people, for you to walk in that freedom and in that liberty, and it's constant fight. You know, the Galatian church has the same issue in the book of Galatians. Read that one when you have some time. Galatians 1 through 6. They started out well. And any time that you start out well with Christ, you're going to have people that show up and want to enslave you all again. They want you to come back under that demonic covering and be controlled by the systems of men. They do not want you to follow Christ. Because in you following Christ, you reveal that they are still slaves to that system. In you following Christ, and you doing what it is that God's told you to do, you reveal that they are sellouts and they're no different than any other demon running around. So if in order for them to have legitimacy, you have to buy into it. But the moment that you say the emperor has no clothes, everybody else realizes, oh yeah, actually the emperor has no clothes. And then they have to, now they have to scrape their whole thing together and have conferences and do whatever they can to try to get you back. God has called his people into freedom and liberty in Christ Jesus. He's called you. You are free now to do the will of God. You are free now to live holy. You are free now to live a blameless life. You have that power in you to do that now. You are free to walk through this life and to enjoy the blessings that God has put around you. To look at the sky and to just say, thank you, Lord God, for making such an amazing sky today, for the beauty of your creation, for life and breath that I have in me, and the fact that I have consciousness, then I can choose to serve you, and I choose that this day. You have that choice, and it's a beautiful, beautiful thing. So, you know, right now there are things that are on the horizon that need to be done, need to be said, need someone to stand in the gap. And you are that person. You are that person that God would have to take up that challenge. It's not somebody else. It's you. You are the one that God would have to pray. You are the one that God would have to put yourself on the line. You are the one that God would have to give into particular situations, into particular places. It's you. You are that man. You are that woman. You are that person. And he wants you to allow him to expand your horizon. What it is that you, what he can do with you is past anything you could imagine or think. But you got to trust him. So, anyways, hey, just want to say God bless you guys. I love you. And I'll catch up with you again sometime soon. But be encouraged. It is an amazing time for the people of God. And we've got a lot coming up. So, all right. So I'll catch you on the flip side. Talk to you soon. Bye.
When you got to demonstrate, you got to take those seeds out there and put them in an old